श्रीमद्भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट 22 सा श्रद्धया भगवान धर्मा चर्यया जिज्ञासयात्मिका जिज्ञासयात्मिका योगनिष्ठया योगेश्वरोपासनया योगेश्वरोपासनया च नित्यं पुनः श्रवः पठया पुनया सा श्रद्धया भगवत् धर्मचर्यया जिज्ञासयाध्यात्मिकयोगनिष्ठया योगेश्वरोपासनया च नित्यम् पुनश्रवः कथया पुनया च सा श्रद्धया भगवद्धर्मचर्यया जिज्ञासयाध्यात्मिकयोगनिष्ठया योगेश्वरोपासनया च नित्यम् श्रद्धया भगवद्धर्मचर्यया जिज्ञासयाध्यात्मिकयोगनिष्ठया योगेश्वरोपासनया च नित्यम् पुनश्रवः कथया पुनया च psalm, that devotional service. Shuddhaya, with faith and conviction. Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. Charjaya, by discussion. Jiggasaya, by inquiry. Adhyatmika, spiritual. Yoga Nishthaya, by conviction and spiritual understanding. Yoga Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upasanaya, by worshipping Him. Cha, and Nityam, regularly. Punnashravana, by hearing which. Kathaya, by discussion. Punnaya, by pious. Cha, also. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. Please repeat after me. Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. These actions are pious in themselves. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Yogeshwara is applicable in both the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and His devotees also. In Bhagavad Gita, this word occurs in two places. In the 18th chapter, 1878, Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is the master of all mystic power, Jatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Yogeshwara is also described at the end of the 6th chapter, 647, Same Yukta Tamaka, Same Yukta Tamohata. This Yukta Tama indicates the topmost of all yogis, the devotees, who can also be called Yogeshwara. In this verse, Yogeshwara Upasana means to render service to a pure devotee. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistatye Chekeva. Without serving a pure devotee, one cannot advance in spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj also has said, Naishan Matistavad Urukramangrim Sprishat Anartho Pogamo Jagartha Mahi Asham Padu Rajoti Shekam Nishkin Chananamna Vrinita Javad. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. One should take shelter of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with this material world, but is simply engaged in devotional service. By serving Him only, one can transcend the qualitative material condition. In this verse, it is recommended, Yogeshwara Upasanaya, that one serve the lotus feet of the topmost yogi or the devotee. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of a pure devotee is to acquire a pious life. In Bhagavad Gita 7:28, it is also said that without being pious, one cannot engage in devotional service. Jesham Tanta Gatam Papam Janana Punna Parmana Te Danda Moha Nirmukta Bhajan Tema Drishabhata. To become fixed in devotional service, one has to become completely cleansed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. For worldly devotional service, the first item is Ado Gurvashrayam. One should accept a bona fide spiritual master, and from the bona fide spiritual master inquire about one's transcendental occupational duty, Saddharma Pritcha, and follow in the footsteps of great saintly persons, devotees, Sadhu Marga Anugamanam. These are the instructions given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. The conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one has to increase his devotion about devotional service. In this way, one has to increase his conviction about devotional service. Then it will be very easy to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of God. Sāsraddhaya bhagavat dharma jagyaya jikkāsayatthātmika-yoga-niṣṭhaya yogeśvaropāsanayāca-muktam punnaśravak-kathayā-punnayāca. Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and applying bhakti yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. So, this chapter is describing Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj was being glorified by his citizens. And at that time, the four Kumaras just appeared. They came flying from the sky. Four Kumaras, although the first four children of Lord Brahma, yet they look like four little children, about 5 years old. Just as a five-year-old child doesn't have any extended material consciousness or fear and shame, etc. But they also wander around naked, completely innocent, completely devoid of materialistic mentality. And although they are the first four children of Brahma, practically right after Brahma, they are the first ones to come to the universe. In that sense, we can say they are one of the oldest people in the universe, but they look like four, five-year-old children. They wander around naked. And that's why Jaya and Vidarbhija got into trouble. They thought, who are these characters trying to enter into Vaikuntha? So they tried to stop them. And upset, they cursed him. And as a result of that, Jaya and Vijaya had to come three times, actually four times, in this material nature, in four different yugas, in Satya Yuga as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, as Ravan and Kumbhakarna in Treta Yuga, Shishupal and Dantavakra in Dwapar Yuga, and Jagai and Madhai in Kali. So, such powerful personalities that they could even curse a resident of Vaikuntha. And not only that, when the Lord saw that they became upset, he just came out. He came and apologized, please forgive me for the offenses that my servants have caused to your lords. Such exalted personality. And Prithu Maharaj recognized that these are the four Kumaras. They were brilliant as the sun. Four little children, brilliant as the sun. And Prithu Maharaj took advantage of their presence there. And he asked, please instruct me about the ultimate goal of life. Please instruct us for the benefit of entire mankind. And as a result of that, four Kumaras started to instruct, headed by Sanat Kumar. We see at the beginning also in this chapter. In this chapter means Maitreya Vidura Sambhad, the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. And Vidura came across Maitreya Rishi. Actually, Vidura was told that Krishna instructed Maitreya Rishi to instruct him. Soon before the Battle of Kurukshetra began, being insulted by Duryodhana, Vidura left Hastinapur, the palace of the royal palace of Dhritarashtra. He left his relatives and friends and started to wander in all around the holy places, to all the holy places in pilgrimage. Many years went by in this pilgrimage, in his pilgrimage. And eventually he came across Uddhava. And when he saw Uddhava, he asked Uddhava about the welfare of the Jadus, welfare of the Pandavas. And then he got to know that Krishna left the planet. And soon after Krishna's departure from the planet, the Pandavas also left. And prior to that, before leaving, Krishna made the arrangement for the Jadus also to leave this planet. Krishna caused the Jadus to fight among themselves. Fight means this was a mock fight. And as a result of that, they all left this planet and went back to Vaikuntha. It was Krishna's divine arrangement. This actually has been elaborately discussed in that chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna saw that now the mission has been accomplished. He came for paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam. All the duskritam, all the miscreants have been annihilated. And the sadhus have been established. The dharma has been re-established again by Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj. So now that the mission has been accomplished, now he should go back. But before going back, he arranged for the Jadus, his eternal associates, also to leave the planet. And the arrangement was, apparently, they got drunk, drinking rice wine, and then they started to fight among themselves. And prior to that, there is another anecdote that leads to this incident. The Jadus went on a excursion or picnic, and there they came across the sages, the saintly personalities. Among them was Durvasa Muni, who was very adept in cursing. Durvasa is famous for cursing. And they wanted to make fun of his sages. They dressed up Samba as a woman, and that too, a pregnant woman. They tied a pillow around his belly and presented him to the sages and asked them, "Can you please tell me whether this lady, this pregnant lady, is going to give birth to a son or a daughter?" And Durvasa cursed. Actually, all the sages were present there. Narad Muni also was there. But Narad Muni was, you know, he knew what was going on. The sages also knew what was going on. They are all Brahmarshis, they are Trikaladarshis. So they say that, yes, he will give birth to something. He'll give birth to a mess, a club, which will be the cause of the destruction of your whole family. And when they went and reported to Ugrasen and others, then they were very concerned, and they said that, "Destroy this club." And as a result of that, literally a club came out. Like, they found that there was a club, there was a mess. And so they decided to rub it off. That mess can be rubbed off, pulverized. So they started to rub it on a stone. And in this way, it was, the whole thing was pulverized. And those dust particles went and settled on the bank of the river, and from that came out these weeds, the water reeds, which apparently they are just hollow water reeds, like you just press it your finger and you pick. But the Jadus went and they got drunk, they started fighting with each other, and they picked up those reeds and started to fight with them, and they all died. So in this way we can see that how wonderful Krishna's pastimes are. And Krishna's pastimes has two aspects. One aspect is that it increases the faith of the devotees, and it causes the non-devotees become even more doubtful about Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality. So the devotees will consider fighting with the reeds. I mean, at least if they fought with some bamboo sticks, we could have understood. Fighting with just some water, hollow reeds, which is so soft that if you press with your finger to break, then the Jadus, those who are not only very, very powerful warriors, Kshatriya, but they are Krishna's eternal associates. And they all died. The devotees' way of thinking of how wonderful is Krishna's pastime. And non-devotees will say, "See, I told you." See, they see, Krishna is God and these are Krishna's associates, and see what kind of God he is. His relatives got drunk, and fought with each other, killed themselves. And the story doesn't end there. They were rubbing the mess, ultimately came to a very thin portion. That it's iron, it's iron piece of iron, made of iron. So rubbing, so finally the ultimate portion they could not pulverize. So that was just a thin strip that was left. So they threw it in the river. A fish swallowed it. A fisherman caught that fish. And he found that piece of iron in the stomach of the fish. He went to the market and sold that piece of iron. And the hunter, he bought that piece of iron, made an arrow out of it. And then, while Krishna was resting under a tree, he thought that was actually the ear of a rabbit. And he shot. And it hit Krishna at his feet, that arrow, and Krishna left the planet. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was hit by the arrow of a hunter, not even an arrow of a kshatriya. Like this is how the warriors actually felt. When Bhishma was fighting, Shikhandi was shooting arrows at him, and Arjuna was shooting arrows. Bhishma told Shikhandi's arrows didn't mean anything. Although these arrows were piercing his body, but Shikhandi's arrows didn't mean anything to him. Only Arjuna's arrows were causing him to think or not. So this is the warrior, like the Kshatriya warriors, I mean they had inconceivable power. Like when Bhima was fighting with Duryodhana, the mess fight, just at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. At one point, Duryodhana hit Bhima on the head with a heavy mess. And Bhima was dazed only for a second. Jai Shri Shri Radha Mataji, Jai Shri Shri Shakti Prindu Ki. And he continued to fight. And same with Duryodhana. They were getting hit by this powerful mess, struck by with the powerful individuals like these warriors, Kshatriyas. But they were completely unaffected. When Hanuman was attacked by Akshay Kumar, Ravana's son, just well after he massacred the Ashoka forest, Akshay at one time hit him on the head with three arrows. Three arrows pierced through his head. Hanuman just pulled it out and started. I mean, what kind of inconceivable power these individuals displayed. And now Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hit by an arrow which was shot by a hunter. And according to the atheistic conclusion, Krishna died. But the devotees, what is the devotee's understanding? What is a devotee's mentality? Janma karma chame divyam evam javekti tatvataha takta deham punarjanma naiti mameti suvai. Devotee's mentality is that they know. Devotee's understanding is Krishna's birth, janma, and Krishna's activities are divyam, divine. They're transcendental. They are not subjected by the modes and karma of the material. Not affected by the guna and karma of this material. So they are just a display of his internal potency, yogamaya, according to his
will.
Krishna desires and Yogamaya arranges. That's the pastime. Janma karma jamati. So that is a devotee's method. Krishna can come in any way, Krishna can go in as he wants. Just as Krishna can come as the son of mother Devaki, born in a prison, Krishna can also appear from within Brahma's nostril. As Varaha. Brahma's birth from Brahma's nose. A tiny little boar came out and it started to grow and grow and grow to such an extent that it eventually went down to the lower planetary system and picked up the Earth planet on its tusk. Can you imagine how big the boar must have been to pick the Earth planet on his tusk? On his tusk. So that is the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Janma karma jami dhikya. As Lord Nrisimhadeva, he came from pillar. Hiranyakashipu asked, where is your Hari? Prahlad said, he's everywhere. Is he in this pillar? Yes, he's in this pillar also. That is the fate of him. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Andantarascha paramanujanantarascha. He is in every single atom. That is a devotee's understanding. If he can be in every single atom, he can very well be in that pillar. That was Prahlad's conclusion. And Hiranyakashipu struck the pillar and broke it. An amazing personality came out. Lord Krishna. So, here we can see like the four Kumaras came and Prithu Maharaj's immediate response to them is, now that I found you, please tell us about the ultimate goal of life for the benefit of entire humanity, entire mankind. And the four Kumaras started to instruct. Sanat Kumar started to instruct, headed by the four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumar, that the ultimate goal of life is to become a devotee of the Lord, practice devotional service, glorify Him, and surrender unto His lotus feet and engage in the activities to please Him. Hear about His glory and sing His glory. So this is the ultimate goal of life. And this is the Prabhupada purport pointing out, this is how one should take advantage of a saintly personality's association. When they come, when you come across them, we should ask them about the ultimate goal of life. We should never think, we have already heard about. We should never become complacent. Oh, I know, I read Bhagavatam so many times. But here we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, one point is becoming very clear, that whenever these exalted personalities are coming across, the other exalted personalities, their immediate inquiry is, please tell us about the ultimate quota. Same thing with Vidura. Vidura came and asked. When Vidura met Maitreya Rishi, oh yeah, to go back to that point. So when Vidura was told that Krishna left the planet, Pandavas left the planet, Vidura was very heartbroken. So then Uddhava told him that, look, Krishna instructed Maitreya Rishi to instruct him. So go and find him. Meet him. To find the saintly personality is also not that easy. And those days there was no international society for Krishna consciousness where all the saintly personalities have assembled together. Those days the saintly people used to travel on foot in pilgrimage. So Vidura started to look around for Maitreya Rishi and he met him in on the bank of the Ganges in Haridwar. And there Vidura had the same question, that please tell what's the ultimate goal of life. And what was Maitreya's response at that time? He said, look, this question was asked by the four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumar, to Shankarshan, when they mentioned. Actually, that is Maitreya Rishi's parampara, which he admits, which he mentions himself. We know that there are four sampradayas: Brahma, Rudra, Shri and Kumar. The four Kumaras also had, one sampradaya. That is called Kumara sampradaya. And that sampradaya is starting from Shankarshan, the Anantashesh with thousands of foots. And he instructed the four Kumaras about the supreme, about the glory of the Supreme Personality of God. Then Shankarana Rishi came across the four Kumaras and been instructed. From Kumaras it came to Shankarana Rishi. From Shankarana Rishi it came to Parashar. And from Parashar Muni to Maitreya Rishi. So, and now here also we see that now that Prithu Maharaj met the four Kumaras, what's his first question? Of course, after he treated them with due hospitality and respect, washed their feet, offered him an elevated seat, and then inquired from him. Similarly, we see when Sanatana Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Ke ami amare keno jare kapota? Who am I and why am I suffering? Please tell me so that I can achieve the ultimate benefit, the Joichi Hito. He means benefit, so that I can benefit from your instruction. So, in our day-to-day dealings also, now that you know we are in a society of devotees, association of devotees, we should make it a point to discuss about these spiritual topics as often as we can. When we were new devotees in the early days, when we joined the movement, I joined in Mayapur. I had the good fortune to join in Mayapur. And those days, we used to have one very common practice. We used to sit to Narasha Prabhu also was there those days. We used to sit together and read from Krishna books whenever we had free times. If we had some free time, we used to have a lot of service to do. Those days we didn't have so many helpers and assistants. We used to clean this lotus building with a squeezy. We used to throw water every morning. We used to throw water and with a squeezy, a rubber thing, we used to clean the balcony rooms. And we used to have a lot of service. But whenever we had some free time, we used to sit together and read from Krishna book. We used to go around. And we used to also, after, in the evening, after the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, which used to take place in the room upstairs, which used to be the conference room, we used to have some remnants of the Mahaprasad. The Mahaprasad first used to go up to the sannyasis and then used to come down floor by floor to the class, the conference room where we used to have some breakfast.
While waiting for Mahaprasad, we used to discuss our various aspects of Krishna consciousness. And even after that, we used to sit together and discuss about Krishna consciousness. This culture is very important. Well, we must take full advantage of our time in discussing about Krishna consciousness. So, we have a wonderful opportunity to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. We receive that wonderful benediction by receiving Krishna consciousness, and now we must take full advantage of it by properly cultivating. We have so many wonderful examples here, like Jananivas Prabhu is such a wonderful example for all of us. All throughout here, he's been so saintly. He's a perfect saint from those early days. So exemplary. And he's still the same. He didn't change. Now that you all are here in Mayapur, please take advantage and also benefit others by giving them your association. You take association of the exalted devotees of Mayapur Dham, and you also give them your association. In this way, let us have a proper sadhu sangha, association of devotees. Dadati pratigrihati Guiha Mankhati Pichati Humte Kojayati Chandra Satyajati Lakshana Preeti Lakshana. The way to express, the way to exchange love, loving exchange. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes, Hare Krishna. Suresh Prabhu, you also now a resident of Mayapur.
Just a guest.
Huh?
A visitor.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, since full-fledged, mature devotees never take offense, is there any reason other than the Lord's desire that prompted the Kumaras to curse the gatekeepers?
We have to understand that a devotee acts as an instrument in the hands of the Lord. Krishna had to enact his pastime. So in order to arrange that, this had to be made. This arrangement had to be made. So, you know, like, they just acted in him as his instrument, being influenced by Yoga Maya. That's true, right? Devotees don't take offense. And such exalted devotees are the four Kumaras. So we have to understand this is a part of the Lord's master.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
So, inquiring about the ultimate goal of life means also to focus in different levels of the four, of course, according to our adhikar, our eventual capacity.
And Sanat Kumara, or is recorded in his Sanat Kumara Samhita, this conversation with Sarajiva, and he describes particular way or path where we also could meditate in a practical way, meaning on the APUs of the day, about traversing this circumstantial state of consciousness and entering into the highest one. But somehow, obviously from a sister Sampradaya, would say, we find apparent discrepancy in the sense that regarding our interest of preaching, distributing this knowledge, because if we always sit meditating 24 hours on the, well, it's also the path of the Goswamis, of course, but I want to ask you very humbly how we accommodate these two different aspects when we could call it, if we want, the tattoo of distributing this knowledge and also testing it for ourselves from the rasa aspect of it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You mean lila smaran as opposed to preaching? Like, how do we harmonize that? Like, you yourself answered that, actually. You said that it is according to different levels of advancement. At the most advanced stage, yes, one will become, when one enters into the Bhajanandi platform, he will be absorbed in just remembering Krishna's pastimes, Ashtakali Leela. But at a neophyte stage, we are, rather I would say at a neophyte stage also we have our Ashtakali Leela. First, clean the balcony, wash the pots. So these are our Ashtakali Leela. As we make advancement, another thing is the as Prabhupada often used to say, that service now samadhi later. Which actually means, you see, when the body has so much passion, generally, due to our materialistic involvement or due to our nature, we are predominantly in the mode of ignorance and passion. So, that passion needs action. Passion motivates the body to act. Therefore, our involvement should be active involvement. Whereas in the mode of goodness, it is passive, more of a passive involvement. And in the mode of pure goodness, you know, as you were saying, enter into Krishna's pastimes. Then we are just remembering those eternal associates of the Lord, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and these exalted pure devotees of the Lord, they are not just remembering the pastimes, they are enacting in those pastimes. Apparently they are remembering, but they are actually physically involved in those pastimes. Like for example, Raghunath Das Goswami, who used to take just one cupful of buttermilk once in 3 days. One day he became sick. The doctor came to check him and said that he got indigestion due to overeating. Everyone was surprised. I mean, how can he? Like, who eats, who drank just a little buttermilk once in 3 days? How can he possibly overeat? But then Raghunath Das Goswami admitted it, that the night before he did indulge in eating Krishna's, he was indulged in a feast in the spiritual sky, and he did overeat some sweet rice. So this way we have to see that their involvements are real. In the Siddha Deva, in the spiritual form, spiritual identity, they are participating in Krishna's mind.
So Maharaj, as a leader of our society and a GDC member also, we see Prabhupada writing even in the purpose that at the end of life, kind of hearing sometimes, late on life, the spiritual master retires with some more closer disciples for his inner seva, whether writing or meditating. Meditating actually, or the writing is a consequence of the meditating. But the question is, it could be considered practical that this also could one day mean is also practically, let's say, delineated or also officially blessed that kind of service eventually, because we are getting older.
Yeah, sure. And you may see, so many devotees are writing, and their writings are brilliant instead of writing. I mean, here we have such a brilliant writer, Sureshwar Prabhu. I used to always admire his writing, his articles in Back to God from those days. And also we can see Radha Maharaj's journey home created such a sensation. I was in Surat recently, I was in Gujarat recently, and there was the inauguration or launch of the Gujarati translation of Jani. And you know who launched it? The Chief Minister of Gujarat, Narendra Modi. And they already distributed 1.2 million volumes. And I've seen people being so impressed, so affected by it. And it's really a wonderful piece of writing. And especially I can appreciate that book because, you see, long time back when I was young, I came across a book written by an English journalist. His name is Paul Brunton. And he came to India on some journalistic mission. But then he became fascinated by mysticism of India. And he started to travel, and what he experienced was recorded in a book called A Search in Secret India. And I was extremely fascinated by that book, you know, because, you know, you see India through the eye of an Englishman. Like, it gives you a different impression. And also you begin to see how wonderful the Indian spiritual culture is, which otherwise you do not really get to experience, you know, as an Indian. And this journey home is 100 times more impressive than that book that I read about 50 years back. It's a brilliant book, and I often recommend to the people, those who are new to Krishna consciousness, and they get back to me and say, thank you for giving me the book. Okay, I'll stop now. I'm sorry I went 15 minutes over. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glorious Krishna Prabhupada. Om Premanande.